All right, turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 25 for our first reading, the New Testament reading in second service here. Acts chapter 25, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying in wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them, therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal to Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's case unto the king, saying, There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him, to whom I answered, It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat in the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept until I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore, I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write, for it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Okay, so we continue on now with round two of Paul's trial before Roman government. This trial here will be not Felix, but Festus, who came in his place. So in the first section, notice that Paul has been bound at least 2 years, and we want to learn about patience from Paul here. We have a tendency to desire things to come to pass quickly, while the Lord often, for his own purposes, delays circumstances. As a matter of fact, sometimes he delays things simply just to tell us no and to teach us to wait. These are the ways of God, and he knows what's best. So Paul has it on authority of no one less than the Lord himself that he will go to Rome. Yet he displays his going there as his desire, so he will endure any kind of hardship in order to go to Rome. And this way to Rome, as we said last hour, will land him with an audience to Caesar himself, or at least Caesar's court. And that's really what he wants when he goes to Rome. And so this is a part of Paul's own strategy and something that was promised him by the Lord. We see also the providence of God in the behavior of Festus. Now, we don't know Festus here. We don't know much about him at all. But I will say this about him. It seems like he's reviewed the case, that he didn't just come in hearing it cold, but that he had done a review. And here's why I say that. Notice what he says, that you can come with me to Jerusalem and accuse him there if he has done anything wrong. It's almost like he's been reading Felix's notes. And Felix had a very favorable opinion of Paul, but kept him bound to do the Jews a pleasure. And so it seems that Festus is about that same opinion and that he's willing to do the Jews a pleasure, both. And you can understand that, can't you? That as a civil authority and having an unruly set of people to rule over like those first century Jews, you know, if it's possible to maintain a little bit of favor with them while doing nothing unjustly, so you might desire to take that route. Well, it's still unjust to Paul to keep him bound simply to do the Jews a pleasure. And yet, there is an upcoming trial, and Paul has appealed to Caesar. So in all those ways, then, we see that Festus has come in, and it seems like he knows a little bit more about the case than simply riding in cold. And for that, we would say, we would thank the Lord for that he has reviewed the matter in the legal record. So, although it doesn't say that, it sure seems like a good implication from the passage. All right, so then he will also hear the same kinds of things that Felix before him has heard, that they make vehement accusations against Paul and they can't prove any of them. And then he stands up and makes what seems to be a very reasonable defense. And so then, notice also that the Jews have not yet given up their strategy that they would kill him if they could. It may be that Paul knows this. He knew before of the plot to kill him. It may be that he knows of it now, although he would be in different circumstances. Whether he appeals to Caesar for that reason or appeals to Caesar because he knows he's to go to Rome to preach, either way, the Lord sees to it that he will not go back to Jerusalem and come under that peril of being killed by the evil actions of his countrymen. Festus may know that as well, although he does give Paul the choice, which is an interesting thing to think about, right? Well, Paul, these guys have something to accuse you of. Would you have an objection, talking to a prisoner, would you have an objection to go back down to Jerusalem? Of course, Paul will say no and appeal to Caesar. There's this famous line by the apostle that speaks to his sense of justice in the sight of God, civil justice, which is, if I be an offender, or if I have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. What a great attitude. We must love the righteousness of God more than ourselves. And this is what Paul advertises here. So often today, justice is all about someone's will. For Paul, justice means, if I've done something worthy of death, I should die. And don't we understand, and haven't we heard this before, that if you have done something worthy of death, one of the best things for you is to be put to death. We often think that if we get off, if we're shown leniency, we won't go back down that same road, which often proves to be false. The recidivism rate for those who are given lenient sentences is astronomical. Okay. So then Festus confers with the council and agrees that Paul will indeed go to Caesar. So we come to verse 13 now, and Agrippa comes, and his wife Bernice, not Drusilla, but Bernice. Some of these names, and it's easy to get them confused. I understand. So when Agrippa comes, he comes to judge, and this is the Agrippa that is the son of the Herod Agrippa that was killed and eaten up of worms by God in Acts chapter 12. This is his son. So in other words, Drusilla, who was with Felix before, is this Agrippa's sister. Okay, so you can see how all of this is related, and there's a lot of family ties going on here. So the Jews have a governor that is favorable to them, yet he cannot find fault against Paul, and so he will appeal to Agrippa because Agrippa is a Jewish king and has more knowledge of what had happened. And frankly, as Festus puts it, I'm glad you're going to hear him because he's appealed to Caesar and I need to send him to Caesar. But I don't know what charge to put on the charge sheet when we send him to Caesar to be judged. And it seems to me to be unreasonable to send someone to be brought up on charges if we don't have a charge against him. And so what he's hoping that Agrippa will do is provide from the Jewish perspective how that a Roman might charge Paul with some crime in order to send him to Caesar. And this is the point that's being made here. And so I think in all of this, what we're supposed to see is the prime obedience of the Apostle Paul, that he's done nothing worthy of bonds or death, his patient endurance of it all, and that those who would accuse him and have him charged for something can't find anything. Are you reminded of someone else in that? Well, Pilate answers, I find no fault in this man. And we hear both Felix and Festus in certain words saying pretty much the same thing. And beloved, this is very much in keeping with the passage that we looked at this morning, although we didn't get to that section, where Peter will counsel us, now, let none of you suffer as an evildoer, a thief, a murderer, a busybody in other men's matters. Excuse me. If we're going to be hauled up before magistrates, if we're going to be hauled up before the law, as it were, let us make sure it's not for anything evil in us, but for our following the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so with regard to Agrippa, it is a very interesting thing that he will give his defense before Agrippa in the next chapter. Let's talk about Agrippa for a moment. So this Agrippa is brother to Drusilla, the wife of the former governor Felix. He desired again to win the favor of the Jews who looked to Agrippa as their rightful heir to the throne, being descended from the house of the Hasmoneans or the Maccabees. In other words, the Jews had given up hope on the line of David by the first century. And they were plenty happy with other family lines ruling over them as their Jewish kings. He hoped that Agrippa might clear up the difficulty that he has sending a prisoner to be tried apart from certain specified charges. He hopes that Agrippa, being a Jewish king and a politician and friend of the Romans, might put the charges into a context acceptable to the Romans. And finally, we note the constancy of Paul toward his mission, and we will hear in the next chapter that he might have been released if he had not appealed to Caesar, but he appealed to Caesar for that very reason, that he might end up in Rome. So this chapter is in between trials. There's a hearing where if Festus thought that he was going to simply dispatch this, he was disappointed. And so now he needs to hold something more cogent, and so he calls Agrippa to his side to help him with that. The Apostle Paul remains constant, and the Jews remain wicked, seeking to kill Paul if they can, or if not, at least have him brought to Jerusalem where they can get their hands on him there. Paul appears conscientious and unafraid throughout, as he did in the last chapter. And of course, in that, he's a great example to us. With that, then, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.